Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome. So I don't know if any of you are following politics or what's going on in the world. It's an interesting time, I want to say. Exciting time. Scary time. It's a whole bunch of different things where the way the world is going right now. But for believers, you know, for the real believers, you know, the ones who come in the rain on a Wednesday night, it's more of an exciting time, amen? Because we know what's ahead, right? And, you know, there can be a lot to be concerned about, a lot to be excited about, a lot to be fearful about. And I got this scripture, and I'm going to just jump right in. And I'm reading from 1 Peter 1, verse 13. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says like this. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. If you're taking notes tonight, the title of my message is going to be Sound Mind, just like the song. And I was walking this morning, and I'm going to be just a little bit honest with you guys, just real vulnerable with my spiritual walk and just with my natural walk. And, you know, I walk every morning, and, like, that's kind of like my time to talk with the Lord, you know, just me ministering to the Lord, you know, praying, reading the Word, just speaking the Word out. Sometimes I'll bring my phone, and I'll listen to myself telling the Word, you know, a scripture, just to get it in my heart, get it in my mind, just, you know, just get it in me before the day starts. And, like, I'll be walking, and sometimes I'll be talking to myself. My wife doesn't know this. I'll be talking, and people think I'm talking to the dog, but I'm just talking to the Lord. And one of the mornings, a lady was like, hey, I was wondering, like, I see you walking, but I was like, I was wondering who you was talking to, but now I see you walking the dog. You must be talking to the dog. And I was like, yeah, I was talking to the dog. You know what I'm saying? And, like, one of my conversations, yeah, I was talking to the Lord, and, like, one of the things, yeah, I'm just going to be honest with you guys tonight. One of the things that I presently wrestle with is anger. And sometimes, like, I can get into a spat of anger, and, like, things will just come up. And I think what it is, it's like a critical spirit, you know. Maybe I'll just get upset about something that really, you don't really need to get upset about. And I was talking to the Lord, and I was like, you know, Lord, I was like, you know, can you just take this out of me, you know what I mean? Because I don't like this, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's not befitting as a husband, as a father, as a leader, as just a human being in general. And, like, just this morning, it's funny because, you know, I guess it's because I was getting ready to minister. The Lord spoke to me about 1 Timothy 1:7. And you guys can turn there. And it kind of ties in. It's just tying in with 1 Peter 1:13. It says, prepare your minds for action. And so it's actually 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 1:7, and it's a real familiar scripture. And it goes like this. Say amen when you got it. Amen. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Ooh, that's deep, yeah? So, you know, I guess in some ways he was telling me to lay, maybe some of that anger that you deal with, you wrestle with, is just a fear that maybe you're not enough, you know, that I'm not enough as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a provider, as a leader. And I was like, okay, where are you going with this? And he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You know, it's pretty cool. Like, he combats fear with three things, you know? He doesn't just say, for the spirit of fear, I give you a spirit of strength, you know? Because strength is not something that, strength is relative to who you are, okay? Let me explain. So strength is compared to, like, how strong you are, yeah? But, so I'll give you an example. The opposite of strength is what? Weakness. But what is the opposite of power? Ooh. Think about it. Powerlessness, right? or no power, right? But really, there is no opposite, you know? You eat, exactly. You either have it or you don't. And so he started to tell me in this scripture, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. It's a gift. He's given it to us. I like Christmas, yeah? But I don't like it because I get gifts. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like getting gifts. I like it when my wife gets me stuff that I don't even think she knew that I wanted, you know? I like giving gifts. And you can ask my wife. I just go all out, man. I mean, like, I love to give gifts. And especially when it's something that I know that you like. I just cannot wait until you open that box, you know? But the Lord has given us a gift. This is a gift. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me. It's like a, for Portuguese, it's like the light came on. Bing! You know? And that light came on. It says, you have a sound mind. Because I've given you the power. And I've given you the spirit of love. And that sound mind is yours. So as I was walking, I just started to confess over myself. Like that song. Baby, if you can text me that part where it says, command my soul, arise. You know that one part? I just love that part of the song where it just... And I started to speak to myself, over myself. I have a sound mind. I was walking. People thinking I'm talking to the dog. I'm talking to the Lord. I have a sound mind. It's mine. It's a gift. I'm going to walk in it. Amen? Why is it important to have a sound mind? You know, I started running sound at this church in 1988. How long is that? Somebody minus 2023 from 1988 and give me a number, please. I know you guys get your phones. Just bust out that calculator, get off of Facebook, and just go over to that. Well, what's the number? Anybody? 30, 40. You see, adding numbers over here, you. I wasn't 8 when I was running sound, okay? 35? 35 years. I've been a sound man. But I'm not talking about a sound man. I'm talking about a sound mind. Why is it important to have a sound mind? Because your mind impacts your thoughts, behaviors, and emotions. It also helps you adapt to the changes in your life and how to cope with it. Sound mind. A sound mind doesn't mean you will never encounter problems or issues. Oh, wouldn't that be something, huh? I just put on this sound mind cap and boom, just easy sailing from here on out, right? A sound mind does not mean you will never encounter problems or issues. It does mean that you can access a self-control that takes root in your spirit, body, and soul. It is a gift of God that can be relied upon in every season and circumstance. And now, more than any time in the world, we need that. A sound mind, when it seems like the whole world don't even know who they are, you know? They can't figure out who they are. And they don't know who they are, so they're going to force you to be in collusion with them when they're confused. Amen? And I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to even jump into that because we could be here all night. I'm not going to go there. But it says, okay, so since we're dealing with the mind, and it says that every day your brain processes about 70,000 thoughts. Bruh, that's a lot of thoughts. I mean, 70,000. What do you think, babe? I'm probably 140,000, huh? I mean, like, my brain doesn't stop. Henry Ford has a quote that says, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So how do you stop a thought? Replace it. You speak. These are all good answers. So from my message, my version is, you replace a thought with another thought. How do you stop a thought with a thought? You go to Scripture. Romans 8:28, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose." Now, I want to change that scripture up a little bit. I'm not rewriting it, but I want to change it a little bit. So it says, you know where it says, "and we know"? I want you to replace it with "and I know," okay? So let's reread it, okay? We're going to change a couple of words. "And I know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about me, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose." Now, for a second now, I'm just going to give you guys a couple of seconds. I want you to think about, yeah, in your brain, yeah, what that would look like when God would move around whatever you're going through in your life tonight to fit the plan that you desire in your life. I want you to just think about that for a second as I grab a sip of water. You got that idea? You got that picture? You got that image? See, your thoughts create images, yeah? That's why I love reading books, you know? You can read a book, yeah? And two people can read the same book, yeah? And they get a different idea of how it looks, right? Your thoughts create images. Now, everybody here has an idea of how God can change their life around for the better, right? I don't think there's no two people in this whole room that would have the same image or same movie in their brain, right? It's like, if I said the word car, Dominic, what kind of car are you thinking about? Regular car. Okay. So Auntie Delphine, what kind of car? Oh, yeah, she does have kind of a cool car. It's a Honda, I think, yeah? Lambert, what kind of car are you thinking about? You see that? Everybody thought about a different car. But it's still a car, right? All different, yeah? What about on dog? Think about it. Auntie Juanita, what kind of dog? I thought you was going to say Makali'i. Jaime. Whippet. I thought you was going to think about Shekinah. No, he's a Whippet. For me, I think about Sam, our dog. See, none of you guys, when I said dog, you guys... D-O-G came in your head, right? Some of you guys had German Shepherds, some had Pit Bull, right? Some had Whippet, some had different, right? In your head, yeah? For me, when I think of a dog, I think of my dog, Sam. In July, it's going to make 2 years since we had a dog. And let me tell you, in my head, when I wanted a dog, I've never had a dog growing up. This is the first time having a dog. So all the thoughts in my head of owning a dog was all the fun stuff, you know? Of like throwing the ball and the dog will get the ball and the dog come back. You know, you come home, the dog licking your face. You know, the dog snuggling up with you in the evening, you know what I mean? Just obedient as can be, you know what I mean? Nobody told me, yeah? That getting one dog was like getting one out of kid. You know? Like, Cy moved out, and then we got one more kid come back in. I was like, what are we doing here, man? So, this dog, yeah? I mean, we love our dog. She's something else. Every place we go, everybody liked the dog. I mean, we take them to the beach. People come to us like, "I want your dog." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, no, I want your dog." I said, no, this is our dog. And what I did not really take into consideration was that the dog was going to have to be trained. Like, when we got home with the dog could fit in one shoebox, We brought it home with my wife's car. So cute, the dog. Oh, my God. With the white, she get white eyes. She's half husky, half ridgeback. Beautiful dog. Oh, my gosh. We get home with the dog. I was like, yeah, we get one dog. And then, you know, she's all excited. We're all excited. And she jumps on the bed, snuggling with the kids. And all of a sudden, poop on the bed. Oh, bro. I'm like, okay. And then not to mention, like, peeing all over the house. You know, doing all these things, you know, just like, you know, you call the dog and you figure, like, come here, Sam. And you think, oh, she's going to come. Yeah, man. No, she runs in the opposite direction. I don't know how many times she would get out. She's an escape artist. And she would come out from the backyard, come through the garage, go by the driveway, look at me, and then take off down the road. And, you know, our thoughts can be like that sometimes, you know? Not sometimes. I think if we're honest, yeah? If we don't train our thoughts to do what it needs to do, our brains can go rampant, right? It can get into fear. It can get into jealousy. It can get into anger. It can get into all these other things that we don't want to be in, right? So are we agreed that we have to train ourselves in, right? There's some training that has to take place, right? This, my brain is not going to just think the Bible automatically. In Philippians, see, I was going someplace with this. Huh? Socks. You never bring any socks for throwing me, yeah? In Philippians 4, 12 through 13, I'm reading from the Passion Version, and it says, I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelmingly abundance. It's the part where I like jump in. Paul, talking to the Philippians, and says, for I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger, and I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. We see that word power again, yeah? We saw that in Timothy, yeah, where he says, I've given you power, love, and a sound mind, right? Amen? So, if that's what we have to do, right? If we have to train, it also says, that when you find the strength of Christ's explosive power, you let it infuse you to conquer every difficulty. It doesn't say anything about bypassing difficulty, right? It doesn't say anything about, well, you know, once you're in Christ Jesus, it's just gravy all the way, right? Yeah? Just like, you know, skipping, you know, praise the Lord, everything's good, right? We run into situations, right? The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, another familiar scripture, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So the Bible tells us what to think about. And you know, it does. It's so cool because he gives you such a good list of things to think about. So like if you don't have something to think about, you can think about what's noble. Right, and when you've exhausted thinking about noble things, you can think about things that are just, and then you can look for things that are pure, whatever things are lovely, because you know it's so easy to think about bad stuff, man. It's so easy to gossip sometimes, and nobody's looking at me. Everybody's, you know, I'm looking around. Everybody's just looking like this. Nobody's making eye contact. Just last night, we was having a conversation. I started talking about some stuff, and I went on one rabbit trail. And my wife was like, sound mind, babe. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Come right back. Sound mind. You know? Sound mind. Come back in there. Come on. We don't need to be talking about this. Amen? Amen? True story. You know, I don't want to just, you know, come up here and, you know, I'm dressed nice. I'm shaved. I smell good. I don't want to act like I've got it all together, you know? I'm still walking this road, you know? Right? Amen? Amen? So the Bible tells us to meditate on these things. So, you know, for the longest time, like, I hear that word meditate, and all of a sudden, like, my thoughts go to somebody in the lotus position, you know, with a third eye, and, you know, fingers, and humming, you know what I mean? I thought that, you know, meditation was all of those, like, Eastern religion kind of things, like, you know, get on some kind of frequency, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I've hung out a whole bunch of different people, so there's whole bunch of things they just tell you, like, oh, yeah, that there's the human body can that has this certain frequency, and you wear, you should be just wearing linen because, you know, this kind of clothes emits a frequency, and all of these, like, just crazy, like, outlandish kind of things, and you're like, okay, man, so what is real? Meditation is not all of that stuff, you know what I'm saying? It's not even clearing your mind. I don't know how many times I walked with the dog, you know? I walked with the dog, and I'd be like, I'd be walking with her, and I'd be trying to, like, just not have any thoughts. Anybody ever try to do that? Like, okay, I'm going to not think about anything. Bruh, like, yeah, so I'm, yeah, man, we stand, right, okay? So, like, the rest of you guys, I don't know, man, I'm going to come over here and just preach to these guys over here. You know, like, and you know, it's cool because the dog, she keeps me, I think, in training her, she's trained me. You know, because every morning I got to walk her because I promised I was going to walk her. You know, every time she'd run away, I'd be like, okay, come on. Like, let's work this out. I talked to her. I said, look, I will walk you every morning. I promise. So every morning she comes in there at 6 o'clock, the alarm goes off and she brings her wet nose and rubs it into my face. And she's like, and I was like, okay, honest to God, I'm not making this up. My wife's laughing because she's like, yeah, that dog is like, and I'll go walking with her. She's training me. And it's good training, you know, because then I get my time for, you know, get with the Lord and meditate. What is meditation? What is meditation in simple words? Meditation is the practice of focused concentration, bringing yourself back to the moment over and over and over and over and over again. Actually addresses stress, whether positive or negative. So you're just focusing. Meditation is just focusing. You ever get into one spot where you get one situation where something negative happened and you just focus on that negative, you know? You just focus on that negative. Nobody in this church, right? Nobody. You guys never, no way, man. Like, you know, somebody did something. Like, the most popular thing to bring up when we're ministering is somebody cut you off in traffic. That's like the most worst thing in the world. Anybody cut you off, it's like the end of the world. It's like your Christianity goes out the back window and you're like, I'm going to chase this guy down. I mean, like, you know, nobody, everybody's just looking up. Yeah, no, not me, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's so easy to concentrate on the negative, you know, and then to bring yourself back around is just, okay, focus on one word that God gave you and trust him that he's going to fulfill this plan in your life. You know, you don't know how he's going to do it because, you know, when you get into your thoughts, you're thinking, okay, he did it this way the last time with that person, so maybe that's the way he can do it. And then you start focusing over there, and God brings somebody totally different. Like my wife tells me, like, there's some things that when we go through stuff in life, and sometimes you expect certain people to show up, but then God uses, I don't know how you said it. I love the way you said it.
You cannot choose who you want to help you. You cannot tell God who to send to help you. He will just send the right ones at the right time, but it's not of your choice.
I know the mic is working. You cannot tell God who to send, right, babe? You cannot. You cannot tell God how to be God, right? He going to use who he going to use, how he going to use them, when he going to use them. Amen? And sometimes even that, like, just trying to wrap your brain around that, you know, and yeah. Amen? Meditation. What is meditation again? In one word. Give me one word. What is meditation? I'm going this side. Focus. Yeah. See, we got to get these guys in the game, okay? Meditation is focus. Amen? So if you hopefully you get that tonight. Focus. Focus. Sound mind. Okay? I know you guys, I can see you guys taking notes. That's why you guys are not looking at me right now. Amen? And I'm going to go to Corinthians. Oh boy, my notes and cut them off. I think it's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10:5. The first person who gets it, say amen. What does it say? Well, how does it start off? Anybody get on different translation? What I said? 1 Corinthians 10:5, yeah? No, that's not the version. I'm sorry. I think it's, okay, so it's 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. Should I find, somebody got 2 Corinthians? Because you know what? I get Corinthians on here, and the 1 and the 2 got cut off, so I don't know which one it is. So somebody help me out. That's the one right there. Woo! Okay, hold on. I'm coming to you.
Amplified. It says, throwing down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Oh, I like that. I like that. You hear that? So that takes effort on our part, yeah? You know, when thoughts are flying around, Dad Hagen said, you cannot stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest, right? Amen? The version I got is 2 Corinthians 10:5 in the ESV version. It says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Amen? Amen? So it's an ongoing process. Okay? It's like owning one house. You can buy the house, yeah? You can buy the house, but those of you who own houses, or even rent a house, or even live in a house, I mean, no more end, yeah? There's always something to do in the house, yeah? Always something for fix, something for paint, something for update, remodel, or renew. Amen? Same thing with cars, yeah? With vehicles, yeah? You can get brand new tires in, you know, 3-4 years from now. Depending on how you drive them, you got to get new tires. You got to wash them, right? You got to put gas in them. It's always a process. No more. Like I said before, no more end, yeah? No more end. Just like your bodies, right? No more end. You got to feed them. Got to wash them. But I'm going to talk about a truck. My truck. I just got my truck detailed. Lambert's friend went and detailed my truck. Oh, man, he did a good job, bro. And I got the pretty eyes. Right. Bro, I mean, the door ain't open. You know, like, the Lord, he'll close doors that no man can open. And he'll open doors that no man can close. And it's a God thing. Praise the Lord, man. I got my truck detailed. Man, I think I never cleaned that truck since I bought him. Like, I'd run him through Hashis and that was it. And I think needed one deep clean. Oh, man. And this guy came in, yeah? He went jack up the truck. He went clean under the fender wells. I never did that before, ever. Man, that thing looked pristine. I even showed Pastor Herman. I was like, bro, you got to come see this. Look at the, I was like, I never seen anybody clean the inside of the fender well. I mean, he did the engine. He steam cleaned the inside. He polished them. Oh, he did a job on that truck. But you know what? The truck is not a brand new truck. You know what I did to the truck? I just didn't renew the truck. I didn't renew them. Like the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect. In the Passion Version, it says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. There we go, right there. How you think. I'll start again from now. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture. You know, I'm going on a rabbit trail here. Our hope is not in any political party, regardless if they represent Jesus or not. We're kingdom-minded, right? It don't matter what color. You know, we don't follow the donkey or the elephant. We don't follow any of that stuff. We follow Jesus, right? We follow the word, right? That's what we follow, right? We don't follow these other things because those things can change. They're not set in stone forever. That's not the foundation for our lives, right? Amen? I'm messing now. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you. Ooh, I like that. This will empower you. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life. Oh, I like that. A beautiful life. That's good. It's God's will that you live a beautiful life. Satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Wow. How about that? God's not giving us a spirit of fear. Fear is not of Him, so we're not supposed to fear, right? But He's given us a spirit of the power, His power, spirit of love, and of a sound mind. Amen? The power of a sound mind is knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. That's it right there in a nutshell. That's just the fast version, Get right down to it. I'm going to say that again. The power of a sound mind is knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. That's what it is. You know, it's not in what ethnicity you are, you know, how much you can bench press, you know, how big the lift on your truck is, you know, those things, you know, how smooth your head is. It's none of those things. Amen? Amen? And you know, God's word is true. Amen? Do you guys believe it? You believe God's word? You believe God's word? I'm just going to throw a little bit something extra in there. This wasn't in my notes, but we're going to go to Isaiah 55. I had this in my spirit. I'm going to end with this. And hopefully you guys are blessed tonight by this message. And when anybody, whoever gets Isaiah 55, verse let's go to verse 11. And I'm going to read it like this. Verse 11. Isaiah 55, 11. Say amen when you got it. Wait, should I let you guys read it? I'll read it. Give me 1 second. Isaiah 55, 11. Isaiah 55, 11. Oh, this is good, you guys. I got to listen to this message again. Isaiah 55, 11. Oh, man. Because that's what we're preaching tonight. We're talking about God's word, right? It's not Mr. Santiago's word. Isaiah 55, 11. Say amen when you got it. Isaiah 55, 11 says this. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. That's God talking about His word. And I'm going to go back. Let's go back to verse 10. I'm going to read them from 11 to 10. I like read them this way because it kind of sticks a little bit better this way. For me anyway. And it says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now I'm going to read it. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Next time you're looking at the rain, it's raining tonight. It is raining tonight, and you guys came out on a rainy night. You go outside, you tell me of the rain going back up to heaven. Amen? That rain is coming down. It's not going back up. That rain's coming down, and it's going to do what it was sent to do. Just like the word of God in your lives. Every word spoken over you, every word you're holding on to, every word you're believing in, every word that you're meditating on, it's going to come to pass. It has to. Just like the water falling out of the heavens, coming down to water the ground, to bring forth the abundance in the earth, it's going to happen. That's what the word says. Amen? You know what? I think I got one more. Give me 1 second. And I'll just read it. And we're going to go out like this. 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to go back there and we're going to go to the Passion Version. And I'm going to leave you with this. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Passion Version, it says, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like a prisoner of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Amen? Can you guys receive that? And that's what I got for you guys tonight. Babe, you got anything else? You good? You guys received tonight? Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege for being used as a vessel of the Lord. Father God, I give this word to you. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that it is blessed. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that like the water falling outside, this word has been showered on this congregation. It's going to produce a harvest, Father God, in their lives, Father God, in their minds, in their spirit, soul, and body, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that they will leave changed today, Father God, knowing, Father God, that they have a sound mind. And a sound mind is available, Father God. It is a gift from our Heavenly Father God. It is accessible, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, for a sound mind for this congregation. In Jesus' precious name. And I pray for traveling mercies. And I thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit flowing in this place tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.